Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We are looking at the people who were invited to come and see Jesus that are part of the Christmas story and remind us of the birth of Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, and let's pray. Father, we are thankful for Jesus' birth. We pray tonight as we again are reminded of His coming. We pray, Lord, that we might learn the things we need to learn from Your Word that will help us this day to bring You praise and honor. Father, help us to be receptive to Your Word tonight. And may we hear it, apply it, and may it cause us to live the way that You want us to live. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we began this morning looking at two groups of people that were invited to the birth of Christ. I mentioned this morning that if we were to see a king or a queen being born, a prince or a princess, someone famous, we would invite all kinds of famous people to that birth. But that did not happen with Jesus. There were not great invitations sent out. In fact, there were only two groups of people that were invited to the announcement, the birth, and the subsequent beginning of the life of Jesus. We looked at the first group this morning, and that was the shepherds. Tonight we're going to look at the second group. And the second group didn't arrive actually at the birth of Christ. It took them a little while, and they arrived sometime later, and that is the Magi. Now, as we look at the story of the Magi tonight, there are three things I want you to see in their visit to Jesus. First is this. Let me say it this way before I tell you the three groups of people. There were three different responses to the birth of Christ. Three different ways in which people responded to hearing about Jesus. The first group were those who feared the birth of Christ. They were startled by the birth of Jesus. They weren't too excited to hear that a king was going to be born. The second response, or second group, were those who were indifferent to the birth of Christ. They heard about Jesus' birth, but you know what? They could care less. Didn't matter at all to them. They really just were indifferent. Then there was a third group. The third group that heard about the birth of Christ were those who came and worshiped Jesus. They were excited about the birth of Christ. They realized that there was something different about this baby, something different about this child, and they came to worship Him. So as we look at the story of the Magi, I want you to see these different responses to the birth of Christ. Now, these will not be the major points we're going to look at tonight, but you will see these responses interweaved in the story of the Magi. So let's look at number one tonight, the arrival of the Magi. The arrival of the Magi begins in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and ask, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw His star in the east, and we have come to worship Him." So, the arrival of the Magi. Why do you notice the time of their arrival? It says in verse 1 that they came after the birth of Jesus. They were not there for His birth, but they came after His birth. And there are several things in this passage that tell us the Magi were not at the birth of Christ. And I've said this over the years, but there are several things that tell us they were not there and probably did not arrive maybe as late as 2 years after He was born. Let me run through them real quick. Notice in verse 1 it says, after Jesus was born. It was not when he was born, but it was after he was born. And generally I can say this. It was anywhere from about 5 months to about a year, maybe as much as 2 years. I don't think fully 2 years, but it could be that long. And you'll see why I don't fully think it's 2 years, but maybe close. In verse 8, in verse 9, and verse 11, Jesus is called a child and not a newborn baby. There are two different words in the Greek language, and I won't mesh up with those words, but the word that is used in verse 8, 9, and verse 11 is the word child. If in Matthew 2 we were talking about a newborn infant, we would use a different word in the Greek language, and that word is not used here. Why don't you notice also in verse 11? It says, on coming to the house. Notice they didn't come to the manger, but they came to the house. So it's somewhere between 5 months, as early as 5 months, maybe up to a year, maybe a year and a half, even at possibly 2 years that they come, but again, probably not fully 2 years. Now, why is this important? Simply to say we want to be biblical. If we want to be biblical, we want to best understand what God's Word says, and God's Word tells us that they were not at the birth of Jesus, but sometime later. Now, notice also, it was during the time of King Herod. They arrived during the time of King Herod. Now, King Herod ruled or was in Palestine from about 37 BC till about 4 BC. Now, I love history, and some of you maybe don't like history at all. If you like history, raise your hand. All right, bunch of us. If you could care less about history, raise your hand. All right, you guys are all messed up, but... why is this important? Let me say this. What it tells us is that if the Magi come after the birth of Jesus, and he was around 37 to about 4 BC, it tells us that our calendars are wrong. Jesus was not born in zero, you know, the end of BC, beginning of AD. When they put together the calendar, they were off. Jesus was actually born about 5 BC, maybe as late as 4 BC. So the calendars we use, even though they are based on the birth of Jesus, they messed it up when they began the calendar. They were off. Jesus was born about 5 BC, maybe as late as 4 BC. Notice also that when they come, the Magi come to Jerusalem. They do not come to Bethlehem in Judea. They come to Jerusalem. That's where they arrive. Jerusalem is about 5 to 6 miles away from Bethlehem. And they arrive in Jerusalem. Now, their words at their arrival, what do they say when they come? They say, where is the one who is born King of the Jews? So you can imagine, they arrive in Jerusalem and they begin asking, where is the king who was born? And not just the king, but where is the king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. King James Version calls these guys the wise men. Doesn't mean that they were really smart. The word that is used and who these guys were magi. And there were some myths that have occurred through the years about these guys who come to visit Jesus. The first one is that there were three of them. You know, we sing the song, We Three Wise Men. We don't know how many there were. That myth came about because there were three gifts that these guys bring. So people began thinking if there were three gifts, there must be three wise men. You know, they each brought their own little gift, but we don't know that. There could have been as many as a dozen wise men who came to worship Jesus. Somewhere during the Middle Ages, the legend developed that these guys were also kings. But the Bible does not say that. It just says that they were magi. In fact, during the Middle Ages, they were given three names: Caspar, Belteshazzar, and Melchior. And I may be mispronouncing that, but they were given these names. But notice, nowhere in the Bible are they given names. And then about the 12th century BC, the Bishop of Cologne claimed that he found their skulls. It's kind of like all the pieces of wood they think they found from Noah's Ark, and all the pieces of wood they think they found from the cross of Christ. In fact, someone has said that if they took all the wood that supposedly came from the cross of Christ, we could build Noah's Ark. What were these guys? Well, from their names, Magi, some have derived that they were magicians. They first appeared on the scene, if you trace through the Bible, around the 7th century B.C. And it appears that these guys were kind of the beginning of astronomers. May even have been involved in astrology. With both, they were closely associated. They came, we think, from the Medo-Persian Empire, maybe from Babylon. And they may have been Parthians. Remember that. They may have been Parthians, which was a group of people that were in the north of the Babylonian Empire. That will have meaning, as you will see in a few moments. Well, you notice the second thing about the Magi, their visit. Notice the questioning of the Magi. They come to Jerusalem. When they get there, they ask, "Where's the King of the Jews?" And then in verse 3, we're told that Herod begins to ask them some questions. When King Herod, verse 3, heard this, he was disturbed. And all Jerusalem with him. He was disturbed. This is the word. If you've ever gone to water that was real still, or maybe even a sink full of water, a bathtub full of water, and you stuck your finger in it and you stirred the water up, that's what this word means. It means to be shaken or to be stirred. And it carries with it the idea, when we use it metaphorically or figuratively, to be troubled or to be upset. King Herod, along with the people of the day, were troubled. They were upset. They heard that the King of the Jews had been born, and it upset them. In fact, this word has the added component of being frightened or being terrified. And notice it says, "and all Jerusalem with him." In the Bible, you will see a number of Herods mentioned. This guy that is mentioned in Matthew chapter 2 was called Herod the Great. And he is the first of several Herods mentioned in the New Testament. Octavian and Mark Antony declared him to be king of the Jews back in 40 BC. He arrived in Palestine and he drove out a group of people called the Parthians. Remember I mentioned that name before? And he ruled Palestine from 37 BC to 4 BC. He was not Jewish. He was actually an Edomite. And therefore, since he was not Jewish, but yet he ruled the Jews, as so often happened in those days, he would marry into the nation so that he could try to win the hearts of the people. So he did that. He married a Jewish heiress, in fact, who was the first of 10 wives. Well, let me take that back. She was one of 10 wives. 19 BC, he began the reconstruction of the temple in Jerusalem. He often helped the Jews in many different ways, but he was a really, really cruel guy. In fact, he had the high priest of the nation of Israel drowned. He was his wife's brother. He had his wife sometime later, his mother-in-law, and three of his sons killed. He had prominent Jews arrested in order that they be killed when he died for one reason, so that when he died, there would be mourning in Israel. So he wanted to make sure that he would arrest them and then kill them when he died, and then people would mourn. Of course, not for him, but at least there would be mourning when he died. And he knew there wouldn't be any mourning because he was such a cruel guy. And of course, we know from this story, he kills all the baby boys 2 years old and under in the vicinity of Bethlehem and everywhere around. About the time of this incident, he is 70 years old. So by the time this incident happens, he has become 70 years of age. And upon hearing that a king has been born, he's disturbed. Why? Because it is believed that the Magi came from the north of Babylon. And if they came from the north of Babylon, the group of people they would have came from would have been the Parthians. Parthians are the very people he drove out of Palestine when he took over the area. So now he begins to think they've come back and now they're going to overthrow him. So when you take history and you take the Bible and you put the two together, you begin to realize why he was so upset at the news that a king had been born. Verse 4. When he had called together all the peoples, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Herod is upset that the king is born. People in Jerusalem are all upset that the king is born. But I want you to know that the religious leaders are not upset. They're simply indifferent. They really don't care. They could care less. Notice that they know that the Messiah was going to be born. They know that the king would be born right in the very place that the Magi said he was born. They would know, according to the scripture, that the time of his birth would be that very time. They know that in the city is born, that the ruler would come, the king would come. They knew that he would rule the people of Israel. But they are absolutely indifferent. And how do I know that? I want you to imagine for a moment that you are alive during the tribulation period. This is that 7-year period of time after the rapture of the church that God will bring his judgment upon the earth. We know at the end of the 7 years, there's going to be a great battle called the Battle of Armageddon. At the end of those 7 years, the Bible tells us that the second coming of Christ will happen. We're looking at the first coming of Christ, but at the end of that time, the second coming of Christ will happen. So I want you to imagine for a moment you're alive during that time. And you know that the Bible says that when those 7 years are over, Christ is going to return. So you're near the end of the 7 years. You know Jesus is going to return. Imagine for a moment that Christ begins to return. Bible tells us that he will come riding on a white horse and that all his saints will be with him. He begins to return to the earth, and if you are indoors or if you are somewhere hiding, as the Bible says, many Christians will be hiding during that time. If you are somewhere hiding, at the very moment he returns, you may not see him at that very second. So you can imagine those outside begin to say, here he comes. Here he comes. And you begin to hear that, and the excitement begins to build. If you begin to hear that, you're going to come running out. Why? Because you want to see him. The excitement begins to build. You want to see the return of Jesus. You want to see Christ coming on the white horse. They hear from the Magi that the king has been born. They know the prophecy about the birth of Christ. They know that the Magi are going to begin and go to the place where the king is born. But they don't go with them. They don't leave where they're at. They could care less. They're indifferent. You know, that's the truth today. That we talk at Christmas time about the birth of Christ, and some people, they're kind of upset that we as Christians worship Jesus and they can't stand Christmas, and they're doing everything they can to kind of drive Christmas and the birth of Jesus and anything religious out of our society. But there's a whole bunch of other people that they're just indifferent. They just don't care. It just doesn't matter to them. And here are religious leaders that it simply just doesn't matter. You know, you can hate Christianity, you can hate Jesus, or you could just not care. And I want you to know the end result's the same. The end result is that you have rejected Jesus. And if you reject Jesus, the Bible says you could have no relationship with Jesus' Father. So Herod then turns to the Magi and he begins to question them about the birth of the king. We read that down in verse 7. And he asked the Magi to go and look for Jesus. He wants more information. Find out where he is. Find out, you know, all the information about his birth. And then come back and report to me, because I too, like you, want to go and worship Jesus. I want you to know clearly from the rest of this passage, what we know is that Herod is lying. This is one of those places in the Bible where we have someone just clearly, outrightly lying. He has no desire to worship Jesus. His desire is to go and kill Jesus. He wants to kill the king of the Jews because he thinks he might be a Parthenian. And if he is, they've come to overthrow him, and he doesn't want that to happen. In fact, we know about Herod that Herod did many things during his life to kill anyone who might try to take his throne. And that's why sometimes he killed his own family members, because he was afraid they'd try to take his throne. Well, these religious leaders quote from Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. That's in verse 6. Clearly, again, they know about Jesus and when he would be born. Magi are sent to give more details. Go and do a careful search, an accurate search. Search carefully that I may go and worship him. But the reality is that he's lying and his only desire is to go and kill him. Well, notice thirdly from this passage, the worship of the Magi. The worship of the Magi. Now, I'm not talking about people coming and worshiping them. I'm talking about them going to worship Jesus. Follow with me in verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Now, I don't know if this is a literal star. It is very possible that God did something miraculous and moved the star into the sky and caused it to rest over where Jesus is. The word that is used here is a word that is used for a star, or it is a word that is used for a radiance or a brilliance, a bright light. It could be the glory of God that is going on ahead of them and resting over the place where Jesus is. So it could be a literal star. It could be that God just using his glory to lead them to the very place where Jesus is. And they're overjoyed when they see it. Again, notice verse 11. We read it before. It says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Now, I want you to notice in this passage, the only person they worship is Jesus. They don't worship Mary. They don't worship Joseph. they only worship Jesus, as the Bible tells us we should. I got an interesting call this afternoon. A lady called our house, and I answered, and she said, "Father Sika," as often happens in our home. And I said, "Well, I am a father, but I'm probably not the guy you're looking for. I am Pastor Sika, not Father Sika." And she said, "Well, Father Sika, I really respect you." And I said, "No, I am Pastor Sika." And then I thought, well, she don't respect me. She don't even know who I am. And I said, "I'm not the priest. I am a Baptist minister. We're two different people." And she said, "Well, God must have led me to you, so I'm going to talk to you." She said, "Do you understand the Catholic religion?" I said, "Well, I used to be Catholic, so you know, yeah, I understand it." She said, "Well, I want to talk to you about a situation in our church." And we ended up being a really long time on the phone. But there are a lot of people who think we ought to worship Mary. I find it very interesting in this passage that it is very clear that when the Magi come, they bowed down and worshiped him. They worshiped Jesus, nobody else. Then notice, "Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh." Now again, we don't know if there were three. We know that there could have been more than just three men, but they gave three gifts. The first was gold. Gold, as you know, is a symbol of great worth. If our money system fails, if the dollar bill crashes, the thing that's going to be worth something is gold. Gold is that symbol of great worth, and it also is a symbol of deity, of kingship. It was a symbol of nobility and royalty. And maybe that's why they gave him this gift, because remember, they are going to worship the king. The king had been born. They asked where the king was. They now bring him a gift as a symbol of his kingship. Second gift they give Jesus is that of incense, or as we see in the King James Version, frankincense. It was gum from a tree. It was white in color. It was an ingredient in the holy anointing oil with which they would anoint priests when they were consecrated. And it may have pointed to Jesus' priestly function. You know, Jesus is our high priest. And as our high priest, he did not bring a sacrifice of a lamb. He himself became the lamb. But he is our high priest for all eternity. Then they bring a third gift, and it is that of myrrh. Myrrh actually is an anesthetic. And it was also used to embalm the dead. And it may have indeed pointed to the death of Jesus. I can imagine that as Mary sat there and she looked at these gifts that were being brought, could you imagine if you were a mother, your child is born, and everybody comes to the hospital or to your house to celebrate the birth of your child, and they bring gold? Well, you probably would have been happy with that. But then they bring incense and they bring myrrh, something used to embalm the dead. The nobility and royalty of Jesus, the high priestly function of Jesus, and ultimately pointing to the death of this brand new child that has been born. Well, verse 12 tells us, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to the country by a different route. Again, they might have been Parthians, so they hear about and they think, we better not go back that way because we know Herod's not coming to worship Jesus. In reality, he wants to kill him, so let's go back a different way. And they did that. I want you to notice a fourth thing about this visit of the Magi. And that is this. There were some murders related to their visit. Why don't you notice the murders related to the Magi? It begins in verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Jerusalem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. So let me go back to when the Magi appeared. Herod goes, realizing he had been tricked by the Magi, and he goes and kills all the boys 2 years old and under. Now put your fiendish, evil mind on for a moment. If you wanted to kill a king who had been born because you're afraid that if he got old enough, he would take over your throne, you would want to make sure that you would take the time the baby was born and add to it, make sure that you didn't miss him, so you would add a little bit of extra time, and then you would kill all the children born by the age of the birth plus some extra time. So my guess is that Jesus had been born somewhere between 5-6 months and maybe a year and a half, maybe a little bit more. Herod adds some time on, so he gets up to 2 years old and kills all the babies 2 years old and under. Can you imagine what it would have been like for all the parents who had young children at that time? We have some babies here that are under 2 years old. Can you imagine all the weeping and crying that would have been gone on in that time, and all the babies who would have been killed that were 2 years old and under? And thus God's word was once again fulfilled. Notice verse 17. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. So we see in this story three different reactions to the baby born in a manger. Three different reactions to the announcement that a king, to announcement that the Savior had been born. The first is that of Herod and the people. There's fear. There is rejection, and I think it's all intermingled with hate. Because certainly this evil, murderous Herod had hate in his heart for anyone who would try to take over his throne, so he's ready to kill him and take any chance he can do to have him dead. Then there is the reaction of the priests and the teachers of the law. Absolute indifference. They just don't care. They know about the prophecies. They know what the Magi said as they came. They just don't care. And I imagine by this time they had even heard about the shepherds as they went out and told everybody about the birth of a Savior, and they just don't care. And then there's the third reaction, and that is the reaction of the Magi. We're told throughout this story of the visit of the Magi, there's one reason why they are coming to visit Jesus. They want to go and worship him. They want to go and worship this baby, this child who had been born. They want to worship him. So we have fear, hate, rejection. We have indifference. And we have worship. And these three different reactions to the birth of Jesus back in that day is really the same three reactions we have to the birth of Jesus today, and in fact, even to the person of Jesus. So let me ask you tonight, which best describes your reaction to Jesus Christ? Do you hate him, fear him, and reject him? Or do you just don't care? You know, I don't have any time in my life for God. I don't have any time in my life for religion. I don't have any time in my life for Jesus. Just don't bother me with that whole thing. If either one of these are your reactions, I want you to know, in essence, you have rejected Jesus. You don't have to go out like Herod did and kill a whole bunch of babies to reject Jesus. All you have to do is just be indifferent. Or you can come and you can worship Jesus. You can give your life, you can give your heart, you can bow down before him, you can place your trust in what he did on the cross, you can worship his birth, and you can worship his life. And he can become your Lord and Savior. It is only this reaction that can bring you into relationship with Jesus Christ. And it is only this reaction that is the right reaction. The Bible tells us there are two roads. One road leads to life, one road leads to destruction. One road leads to a relationship with Jesus, the other road leads to a rejection of Jesus Christ. On the road that leads to Jesus, the Bible tells us it is narrow and only a few find it. On the road that leads to death, the Bible says that it is broad and many find it. In fact, it is very possible that most of your friends are on it. It is very possible that most of the people you know are on it, because that's what the Bible tells us. You do not have to be on it, and your friends do not have to be on it. If you will respond to Jesus and begin to worship him, and begin to serve him, and begin to follow him, you can change the road you're on. You can have the same reaction the Magi had, and it can change your life forever. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word. We pray, Lord, that like the Magi, we may worship you. Father, use your word in our life, that we may have a relationship with you and may find ourselves in the center of your will. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.